35% of global companies currently report using AI in their business operations, according to a 2024 study done by Exploding Topics. First of all, love the name. An additional 42% of companies are actively exploring ways to incorporate AI within their organization. That means a total of over 77% of companies are actively using or exploring ways to incorporate AI into their business somehow, some way, some form, highlighting its complete significance and growing presence in the business world. It's partially why we're diving into this today, especially because I've seen a lot of conversation about it lately. Hi, hello, and welcome to Business Unfiltered, the podcast. I'm Kristen Kubik, and I'm the bridge between ethics and profit and your gatekeeper between you and legal. I'm an inclusive marketing and business compliance consultant dedicated to helping companies run ethically and make sure all voices are heard. I already hear it. I'm going to stumble in this episode, so we may not just edit it out. It's fine. Whatever. I'm going to take a second and shamelessly plug the fact that Six-Figure Messaging, my signature group offering, starts March 18th. When this episode releases, it's going to be March 15th, which means it'll be a couple days away. Six-Figure Messaging is 3 days toward your next 100K. I love this course so much. It's so much fun to do. It's also so much fun to be in and be around. So if you have questions, please feel free to find me on Instagram at Kristen Unfiltered. But you know your content is good. I know your content is good. I'm never going to be a person who tells someone their content is shit. And we're spending 3 days together amplifying it to expand your audience of potential buyers, to include people who are often forgotten about. Marketing in general is always geared toward a certain specific set of people, a certain specific demographic, leaving an entire realm of other people that are historically excluded. That being said, I created Six-Figure Messaging to look at more inclusive messaging, more inclusive content. This round, we are focusing also not just on inclusivity, but also more on accessibility. That way we're diversifying even more the kind of content that you are bringing forward to your audience. So not only are you appealing to all corners of your ideal buyer, but you're also avoiding any potential legal troubles as well. And I'm going to do an episode later on disability and content and how that all ties together, especially with the Americans with Disabilities Act. So it's $147 to join. The link is going to be in the show notes. If you're on YouTube, it's down below. And you can find me on Instagram for more information. Like I said before, at Kristen Unfiltered. Now, let's dive in. It's funny because as I was really diving into and looking at this episode, I was looking at the history of AI, and I am a 90s baby, so I'm clearly an elder millennial. I was born in 1990, so I was one of the last people to have that kind of pre-internet, like, entire childhood. So I got to live not only with the pre-internet, but the rise of the internet. I still remember those days where, and I'm not gonna try to, like, be all nostalgic too much, but I still remember the days where you had to like plug in the like internet and it took away from the telephone. And if someone was trying to call, you got kicked off. And, you know, you had your mom always screaming to get off the internet because like she was expecting a phone call, or, you know, it was just, there was so much whenever it came to technology that everyone was clearly trying to figure out. And I think it was really interesting to look at the kind of early stages of AI, if you will, because it went back really to like the 1950s, to where the like kind of formation of computer science really took off. And really looking at how the creation of what is considered intelligent machinery was dealt with. Now, I'm not going to dive into the history of AI. I could always do that at another time if that's interesting to somebody. Some people it is, a lot of people it's not. So I could always do that at another time. That being said, whenever I was looking at the like going further into it, there was kind of that like renewed interest right about the time I was like really growing up. So the 90s through the 2010s. And that was when we really saw like the iPhone, for instance. We saw the iPod, the different iPods, the iPod Nanos, the different iPhones. We all evolved from the brick Nokia to the Sidekick. My husband and I were talking about the Sidekick not long ago, to the iPhone, to, you know, whatever everyone has now. I personally am a Samsung girly. Sorry to everybody. I have the green bubble. There were just so many different like forms and formations that I was able to like look at in this episode and doing the research for it. But then there was what was considered the age of transformation, and that was really 2010 to now. And if you look at the quote age of transformation, that was really the rise of just like big data and the cloud. So that was when everything started like gearing toward a cloud movement. Everything was saved toward the cloud. Like Google was Google Drive. Microsoft came out with OneDrive. Like Xbox now does like cloud gaming. Like there's, you know, Apple that saves everything to the iCloud. There's so many different like forms of a virtual like save, basically, to where you quote never lose anything, right? So it was, again, it was very, very almost, I don't really know the word for it. It was almost very overwhelming to look at in real time, but also to read all the different changes that have happened in my, what, 33 years so far? I'm entering my 34th year. I'll be 34 at the end of this year. Into looking at all of that, right? So it... And I know like people who are going to listen to this that may like maybe older than I am, maybe younger than I am, they're all going to have like different opinions on it, or they might have a very similar opinion on it. That being said, AI now transforms everything, whether it's an industry, whether it's, you know, your personal life, whether it's a just general day to day. It transforms things at an unprecedented pace. It automates tasks, it optimizes processes, it even like it generates content for you. It does all of these different things. It even like helps with healthcare and surgeries. And it's just insane to watch how much things are automated or, you know, artificial at this point. But it's very cool. That being said, do you own AI content? As a business owner, as a content creator, do you own AI content? That's where we're going to get into, because that is the tricky part. The tricky part is not just do you own it, but why do or do you not own it? Now, there's a big kind of debate with the necessity or the usage in general of AI. There's a big ethics usage. There's a big inclusivity usage. There's a big accessibility usage debate. And I see both sides, because when we're talking about, I have a hair in my nose and it is like, I'm 99% sure it's a dog hair. For anyone who doesn't know, I have a golden retriever and her hair gets everywhere. If you have a long-haired dog, you know. There's a hair somewhere floating around here and I don't know where it is. So we're gonna roll with it at this point because it's driving me nuts. I understand both sides of the debate, because here's the thing. When it comes to AI, there are like voice to text transcription that is considered AI. The like automatic snippets that like programs can create out of one video, that is considered AI. Those are very convenient. They are also very accessible. They are also very inclusive, especially for someone who may not have time, who may be disabled, who might have ADHD, who might be autistic, who might have, you know, any disease under the sun that can, like, prevents them from doing certain things, who might just be exhausted all the time, who might, you know, be working 2, 3, 4 jobs and trying to do content creation on the side. There are so many different reasons that AI can help and can be a good thing. That being said, there are also places where AI is very, very, very unethical. There are places where AI has been known to be racist, sexist, homophobic, ableist. There are like actual and multiple and so many examples where AI generated content is often geared toward thin, white, blonde people. Notoriously men, not women. And I'm not putting my opinions in this. I'm stating facts, because there have been studies done. There have been people talking and showing examples all over, like anywhere. Honestly, you pick a platform, you're going to find an example, at least 4 to 5, most likely hundreds. But there are so many different ways to where people are finding the good and the bad, to where, I mean, we all recognize there's always a duality, right? It's never black and white. There's always gray area. There's always nuance to these things. That being said, when we're talking about if you own your content, there was actually a court case that was denied to be heard by the Supreme Court. And this court case, the reason they denied to hear it was because they actually initially thought that the ruling is A, it was dealt with, but B, there was no reason for it to be heard as a constitutional case. If you are unfamiliar with why or why the U.S. Supreme Court does not hear court cases, it's because they only hear cases that have to do with the Constitution. Let me rephrase that. They're only supposed to hear court cases that go for or against the Constitution. So anything that is questionable about the Constitution, that is what they are supposed to hear. That being said, this specific case it was determined that this is not a constitutional case. in that this court case, it is, that being said, this case, Thaler v. Vidal, it was a case that went all the way up to the United States Courts of Appeals for the federal court. The entire case, the issue was whether an AI system can be listed as an inventor on a patent application. Now, this has to do with two things. This has to do with AI in general. This also has to do with intellectual property rights. So when we're talking about intellectual property, we're talking about copyright, patent, trademark. Those are the things we're talking about. What happened was, Stephen Thaler is an inventor who filed two patent applications naming an AI system called Dabus, D-A-B-U-S, as the inventor or partial inventor of the system, that software that he had created. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the USPTO, as I will most likely refer to it, rejected the applications because they did not identify a human inventor. So the USPTO, what they will do is they will go through for a patent application and they will look at who is the inventor. Because patent and trademark law has not caught up to the fact that there's so much AI, there's so much digital, there's so much, you know, modernization, if you will, they will not identify anyone other than anything other than a human. So it has to be human-derived content. So, that being said, Thaler sued the USPTO, arguing that the Patent Act did not explicitly require inventors to be human. If you are unfamiliar with the Patent Act, it was an act designed to essentially lay out all of the requirements for filing, achieving, and keeping a patent. It also made and formed the USPTO, so the Patent and Trademark Office. That being said, the purpose of the act was to promote innovation by granting inventors exclusive rights to their inventions for a limited time. Now, that limited time is 20 years, so it's a very long time. However, if you are granting inventors exclusive rights to their inventions, but you're naming an AI as the inventor, does that make sense? I'm not here to lay my opinion. I'm here to let you think about it. That being said, they argued that there was no wording that said an AI could not be the name on the patent application, or a name on a patent application. The court ended up actually ruling in favor of the PTO. So the court interpreted the term inventor in the Patent Act to mean a natural person, because the person would have to be the one who presides over the patent itself and the protections, not a system. They based the decision on the plain meaning of the word individual in the statute and from precedent from the Supreme Court. Now, precedent, if you're unfamiliar, means the previous rulings and previous statements. So that being said, the significance of this was massive. The fact that you cannot hold IP protection, intellectual property protection, the fact that you cannot hold this protection if you are using an AI as the name or like disclosing that you like are using AI is like, it's a big deal. And we saw a lot of this go back and forth not long ago with Midjourney. Now, a lot of the people who use Midjourney actually updated their terms and conditions multiple times in 2023 to, quote, reflect the, like, not only the rulings of this case to, quote, promise that you owned all of your content if you paid for the premium versions, but when it came down to it, the USPTO was still saying you don't own your content if you are using AI-generated things. That is big. That is a big deal, especially because you've got 77% of businesses over here attempting or already utilizing AI for their business in general. And I'm not saying they're using it solely for content, but they are utilizing it for things. I absolutely use AI for my business. I use voice transcriptions all the time. I use automations all the time. What I don't use is things like ChatGPT, like Google Gemini, which used to be Google Bard. I don't use those to write things for me. So, let's talk about how you can actually use it for your business in an ethical way. And I actually have a blog post about this too. I'll drop the blog post in the show notes also, so you can actually read a little more. A really good way that I love talking about is just to use things like ChatGPT or like Google Gemini. I love using Google more than ChatGPT personally because I'm not a huge fan of OpenAI as a company. That's a whole other subject. Nothing against OpenAI personally, like the people who run it necessarily. It's not my favorite company. That being said, I love just using it for ideas, right? So ideas are a really great like way to just purely be able to have another place to bounce things off, right? Say I come up with an idea, and maybe I came up with an idea for this podcast, and I said, hey, I would love to talk about Thaler v. Vidal. I know what Thaler v. Vidal is about. However, give me a synopsis. Break it down a little bit for me. Make it a little more digestible. Because I could talk about it in so many different ways, but are you gonna understand it if I talk about it in certain ways? Maybe, maybe not, right? So there are so many ways that you can use it. A lot of people, what they will do, at least what I'm kind of seeing, is they will take a like prompt and they will say, write me a 3-page blog that does this. And that talks about this, use this type of voice, and da da da. The issue is you don't own that content. It's not your content. You cannot copyright that content. Unfortunately, to do that, you would actually have to just write the content. You can't change it, you can't tweak it, you can't have it write it and then just change a few things. You actually have to write it. You could absolutely use it for maybe some bullet points, maybe some like statistics to find. I love using it to find statistics, and then obviously fact checking because it's not perfect. It's still people doing, you know, it's still learning things because we have to teach it. Everything you input, you're teaching it. Right? So, and that's another like ethical conversation is, what are we teaching it? Are we teaching it the correct things? Are we teaching it, you know, the things that maybe we shouldn't be? Which is why the like way that AI generated content when it comes to like graphics is now being put into question. because that is a big conversation about what we're starting to notice about how all of the how all of the images are starting to come out. Why are they starting to all look the same? Why are they starting to all be in the same realm? Why are they starting to all have the same type of look? It's because it got trained that way. And whose fault is that? It's ours. So, this is probably one of my favorite cases I think I've ever come across, but it was essentially, they tried to push it to the Supreme Court. It was appealed to the Supreme Court. The court declined to hear it literally a year ago, March 2023. And it means that the Federal Circuit's decision remains the absolute law on this issue. Now, the Supreme Court actually came out and did say in their declination to hear this case that they could hear another one like it if it came across. So they're not writing it out completely that this could potentially be a constitutional issue. However, they declined to hear this one as a constitutional issue. And I think that's very interesting. So I will be very interested to hear and see kind of what happens over the next couple of years, because I think as AI gets a little more prominent and as we start to see things that are done, aren't done, are taken into account, aren't taken into account, I think that's where it's going to be really interesting to really get a handle on what is considered the constitutional parts and what aren't. So that's it for today. If you haven't already, be sure to follow the podcast and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. And be sure to share with a friend if you found this interesting or helpful. You can find video versions on YouTube, and be sure to hug that subscribe button on YouTube if you haven't already, so you get notified every single time there's a new video that pops up. And if you haven't already and you are interested, please come join us for Six Figure Messaging that starts on March 18th. It's going to be 3 days of live calls with replays and a bonus day where I'm doing content roasts, which are my favorite things ever. And I swear it's not as bad as it sounds. I hate calling them audits because I'm not the IRS. So they are roasts. I love roasting things. Whether it's a chicken, whether it's a joke, whether it's, my husband on the internet. So I will see you guys next time on the Business Unfiltered, the podcast. And thank you so much for listening. Bye.